Our scriptures today, reading today is from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can find it in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bibles on page 332. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on the way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord leaves, and as you yourself leave, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your monster away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elisha said to him, "Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord leaves, and as you yourself leave, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho, the company of prophets who were at Jericho drawn near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your monster away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be quiet. Be silent." Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord leaves, and as for you yourself leave, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. As they both were standing by Jordan, then Elisha took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they crossed, Elisha said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Elisha ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, we understand that faith is the first factor in a life devoted to service. And we reflect on that as Mary McLeod Bethune spoke again and again that without it, nothing is possible. And yet with it, we know that nothing is impossible, and we rejoice. Amen. Passing the torch. There are so many stories out there that we can talk about that center on passing the torch. In 1984, when Frisco was just a small community, the Olympic torch was brought through that little community, and ahead of time, they had arranged for different citizens to be standing on corners to take that torch from the runner for just a while and then pass it on. And what an event that was. But nothing so spectacular as the two stories that Eric talked about and Francois read today. The one in the New Testament where Jesus is up on that mountaintop and right before his three disciples' eyes is transfigured into this dazzling presence, thus Transfiguration Sunday. The one in Kings where chariots of fire swoop Elijah away while he is still living to be taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. And yet, that was the technology of the ancient world, a whirlwind. Today, we have at least two new technologies that do not use the whirlwind technology and still present a chariot of fire, a passing of the torch, if you will. Probably most of you tuned in to see Elon Musk this week as he launched from a Kennedy base in Florida the missile into space. Both of the propelling missiles landing almost perfectly back down on the ground, almost side by side. And when that chariot of fire was unfolded as it began to go into space, it happened to be Elon Musk's own personal red convertible Tesla with a robot called Starman at the wheel to be sent on into space, on into infinity, with NASA keeping track of it. And the second similar chariot is stationed out in the Mojave Desert. It's got a wingspan the widest of any we've ever heard of. It's twice the wingspan that Howard Hughes' aircraft had. It's 238 feet long, and it's 50 feet high. And it is destined to begin taking us, some of us, to places in space next year. 2018, 500,000 pounds kept in the Mojave Desert, ready to shorten the distance between heaven and earth. Something similar happened to Elijah when he was lifted into heaven in that whirlwind. Instead of dying, we're told, he went to heaven and later, of course, returned in the transfiguration to earth on top of that mountain and had a conversation with Moses and Jesus. Today, all the Jews expect that Elijah will return ahead of the Messiah, and so it is that when we come to the Passover meal or here, when we come to Maundy Thursday, the Elijah table is set in expectation that Elijah is going to return, passing the torch. In communities all across the country, Christians are encouraged to take that double share that we have inherited. Take it from the biblical prophets And when we do, take action to make sure all of our neighbors, the ones who are in need, the ones who are in poverty, the ones who are still suffering from inequality and racism, make sure that they instead experience being children of God equally with all. In 1813, Francis Burns' family was so poor in New York that when Francis was 4, they placed him with a farmer, a white farmer, in New York. And this man happened to be a big churchgoer, as well as a good farmer and a good man. So New York was still a slave state in 1813, and at the age of 8, Francis was indentured to Mr. Atwood, but he went to church with him. And also Mr. Atwood allowed him to go to school with his children in the winter when it wasn't farming season, and eventually he allowed him to go all year long. And at church, which was a Methodist church, Francis became converted to be a Christian. And at 17, he felt like God was calling him to be a preacher. But of course, being at slave times, he was indentured until he turned 21. But he did turn 21. And he became a teacher in a white school. He was said to have been the first person of color to teach in a white school. And in his own community, he had all the respect. Eventually, soon actually, he became a local pastor. And he answered the call to be a missionary. And so it was that Francis Burns early on became the first African American missionary. He went to Liberia. They loved him so much, they honored him, they learned from him and his teachings, that in 1858, he was ordained a bishop in the Methodist Episcopal Church. First African-American bishop in the Methodist Episcopal Church, while we still had not freed the slaves. Even when he died 2 years before all the slaves in America were free. He was a torchbearer. He had gladly taken the torch as he was called, and he passed the torch on to the next bishop in Liberia. So those torchbearers remind us that earth is a lot closer to heaven than we might imagine. Jesus taught us that when he said, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." You know, none of us are immune to the hardships and the struggles that life presents to us. But we are called, all of us, to embrace the reality of those hardships in those places where God proves God's faithfulness. An example of that right here in this congregation happened in September of 2016 when many of you saw Guy Reynolds come to this pulpit and tell us that he had been diagnosed with cancer and that his favorite thing to do, Meals on Wheels, was going to need some other people. He had routes, I believe, 4 days a week. And you heard him say, "I'll be standing right out here with and taking notes for those of you to whom I could possibly pass the torch." And so it was that Riley and Janie Miller were two of those people that said, "We'll take a day." Now, these places that Guy goes, and some of you know this from his art, his pictures, they're not the safest places. They're not the tidiest places. And yet, He handed off that torch to one of those places, to Riley and Janie. But then, of course, there were other days. And so he handed off a torch to Sefu Tesfe, who continues to take that route. It happens each week. And then he handed the third one off to Sam Hodges, who continues to take that route of delivering Meals on Wheels. And if you're like Guy, you don't just deliver Meals on Wheels. You get to know those people. You get to be in relationship with people and see some of their needs and wants and joy as well. And so it is that Guy held on to the fourth route, which he still does, thanks be to God, on Thursdays, passing the torch, accepting the torch. It was January 20th, 57 years ago, when a crowd gathered on Cole's steps, a day not unlike this day of our Capitol. It had been snowing the night before, but the sky now had some sunlight in it, and a young man put his left hand on the Bible and raised his hand to take the oath of office. And it was then that John F. Kennedy spoke of passing the torch, just like our scripture does today. Here's what he said. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this country, tempered by war. Within a decade, Americans would meet that challenge, beating the Russians to the moon. And yet in that decade, four little girls would be bombed at 16th Avenue Baptist in Birmingham. The bodies of three civil rights workers would be found under a dam near Philadelphia, Mississippi. JFK would die. MLK would die. RFK would die. But the union of that torch being given and accepted, held, the baton got passed, and the race, though it is still to be won, was not lost. One of the differences in the Elijah story and the Mark story is that Elijah departs and just leaves. Jesus returns to his disciples. He wants to be sure that the torch is handed off to his disciples, that they do the kinds of things he has been doing. In fact, it says, you will do even greater things. Here's the torch. You've inherited a double portion. And so what it means for us, you and I, as Christians, to inherit a double portion of God's miraculous acts and prophecies is that we have some responsibility. We have to get in that stance that the runners get in when they're going to accept the torch and they're already running a little bit themselves with their hand reached out to be sure they don't miss that torch. Madeline L'Engle wrote a poem about the Transfiguration. I think it speaks to how we're called to be in relationship as we carry the torch with everybody who comes our way. Hear these words. Suddenly, they saw him the way he was, the way he really was all the time, although they had never seen it before. The glory which blinds the everyday eye and so becomes invisible. That this is how he was, radiant, brilliant, carrying joy like a flaming sun in his hands. This is the way he was, is, from the beginning, and we cannot bear it. He manned himself, came manifest to us, and there on the mountain, they saw him, really saw him, saw his light. We all know that if we really see him, we die. But isn't that what is required of us? Then perhaps we will see each other too. Amen. This next person needs no introduction. She is not only a member of our community, she is the executive director of Agape Clinic. Our communion rail offering this morning goes to Agape Clinic. Stephanie.
I love that we have a church where everyone is family and we show that love to each other. We show love through our support of our missions, and Grace has always been focused on health and healing because it's one of the very, very tangible ways Jesus showed love for others. And since he calls us to love one another as he loved, supporting health and healing is kind of a no-brainer at Grace. Now, not so much to the rest of our country and our politicians sometimes, but, you know, we're kind of always ahead of the curve at Grace. And many of you kind of know that I lost my very best friend to breast cancer. We were friends for 31 years. And you all showed me so much love as I grieved her very visibly every Sunday in church. Shortly after Liz passed, a woman came back to Agape. Now, this is a story most of you probably don't know. She, too, survived an initial onslaught of breast cancer, which was the same as Liz. Liz's story, she survived the first initial onslaught, and then her cancer came back in her bones and then in her liver. And this woman came back to Agape. She had come in for a women's health appointment, and we found a lump, and we sent her for a mammogram, and the results came back that she did have cancer. And then we were able to get her cared for at Parkland, where they did surgery and radiation and chemotherapy, and she survived that first round. But she needed a medication to keep cancer from coming back. She needed tamoxifen, and she had come back to us because it cost $100 a month to get this medication that she would need to keep cancer from coming back. She couldn't afford it. $100 a month was a lot, basically for the rest of her life. Now, because we have a partnership with Sam's Club, and they let us purchase discounted meds, and they bill us directly, we were able to carry that burden for her and pay the cost of her medications every single month. We are still doing it every single month for this woman, $100. And that was something as an entity, even though $1,200 a year is a lot for us and a lot out of our medication budget to give to just one person, we could do it. Now, just last week, another family came into Agape. We diagnosed a husband and a father last week. He is HIV positive, and through some loving miracle, his wife is not HIV positive. Now, to prevent her from contracting the disease, there is a wonderful medication out there that will help prevent that, but it costs about $1,600 a month. And she is undocumented, so patient assistance programs will not help her because she's undocumented. Her life isn't one we deem worthy. And this medication is so expensive, clearly $1,600 a month is much more than she as an individual can manage, and it's also more than we as an entity can manage. So we're going to continue looking for other ways to provide this medication for her. So I wanted to encourage us today, in addition to supporting through the communion rail offering, and I want you to know that all funds given today are going to go to our medication budget so that we can provide medications to our patients. But consider picking up the torch and being an advocate for healthcare reform. Let's do everything that we can to tell people that the cost has to be controlled in some way, because we do not want to continue losing husbands, fathers, mothers, daughters, sisters, best friends to diseases that we can prevent or that we can manage with medication. I ask you to work with us, pray for us, continue praying for Agape, pray for our patients, support us, and please be an advocate. Thank you.